It is good to be home. Amen. As I serve the church up in Palatka, I often think of the services that are going on here in Palm Coast. And I turn to Yvette and I go, they're probably at their third service about now. We can almost make it. But I am truly honored that Pastor Kevin has asked me to give the message tonight during Holy Week. The Spirit is in here in Palm Coast. I can feel it. I can see it. I can, when we walk through the door, the aura of happiness was here. And we are just grateful to be here, Sister Bynum and I. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you today for allowing us to come here to hear the message that you have brought for your people. We ask a blessing on each and every one that is here tonight, representing their families, who are representing the church, and just here to be a part of a spiritual experience. So we ask that you send the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and show them that you are the living God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The start of this week, the start of Holy Week, started with Palm Sunday. It was a wonderful occasion. Our Lord and Savior, he's coming through the town of Jerusalem on a donkey. And the crowds are yelling, Messiah, Hosanna in the highest, and they're waving their palms, and everything is good. It's a joyous time. It is wonderful. That's the start of the week. And now we come upon the disciples. And it begins in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And they're in the upper room. And the scripture says, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and to go to his Father. The scripture said Jesus knew. He knew because he had been preparing himself for the last 33 years for this moment. He knew that he had to take this walk. And he was in this small space with his disciples. And the scripture says, having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. He had been with these guys for a few years, and they had been up and down the region doing miracles and raising folks from the dead, healing the sick, allowing the blind to see. It was a good moment. The scripture goes on to say the devil by now had Judas. Jesus knew. That's what the scripture says. He knew that Judas was there to betray him. He knew where his fate was leading. He knew those things. It went on to say Jesus knew again. Jesus knew that his Father had put him in complete charge of everything. So he wasn't worried about the things that was going to happen. All he knew that he was in charge now. It was up to him to continue this journey. He knew that he was going back to the Father. He knew that he was going to be with God again. So he got up from the table. And he set aside his robe. And he put on a towel or an apron. Something of service. And he poured the water into the basin and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. and drying them with an apron. He poured water into the basin and began to wipe and wash the feet of the disciples. You got to be kidding me. Could you imagine any world leader today? Think about President Obama removing the patent leather shoes and the moist dress socks of the congregational subcommittee. All those members, and start to washing their lint-filled feet, their toe-jam feet. Just imagine our president doing that. It's hard to imagine. You know, washing the feet of one of the presidential hopefuls. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Those very, the very campaigns that try to grind hostile press releases against him, and he's washing their feet. Or even tugging at the toes of Vladimir Putin. Could you imagine our president doing that? The humility of Christ is what stuns us. For him to do something like that. The King of Kings chose the servant's role as an object lesson or a teachable moment. You know, sometimes we have those teachable moments, and Jesus was on this spiritual journey, and he started to think about, what can I do before I can get out of this room to help these young men carry on? Because I know everything, that I'm not going to be here. What little jewel could I give them? See, you have to remember back then that in those days, foot washing was no more symbolic ceremony than the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine. See, it was a practical thing that was done. See, when they came off those long journeys with their dusty and muddy and manure strewn roads of Jerusalem that made sandals feet at mealtime a real buzzkill. Could you imagine? You come off the road and they wash their hands, and then all their feet are muddy and dirty, and they're sitting at the table and they're ready to eat. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, I know some of y'all go down to Flagler Beach, and I know some of y'all go and you get all the sand all on you, and then you got sand all on your legs and your feet and your toes, and then you walk into a restaurant. Ready to sit down and eat. What a buzzkill. You know, the first century household servants would always get the foot washing task, as it was the most demeaning and filthy task in the culture of that day. When a guest come over, the servants would make sure that they had enough water to clean their hands and wash their face, and the servants would take the mud and dirt and manure off their feet. There is a show that I love to watch on the Discovery Channel, Lord. Dirty Jobs. Now, Mike Rowe on the Discovery Channel, he goes all around the country trying to figure out who has the dirtiest job. Who has the job that is most just nobody wants to do. And lo and behold, he has been all over the United States. and he's been in pig pens, and he's been in horse stables. He's been in cleaning out all kinds of crazy things, but I've never seen him washing any feet at a foot washing service. Since the meeting was held in secret that time, there were no servants or there were no slaves. There was nobody around to do the work. To further the irony of the Messiah washing feet, Luke tells us that the upper room discourse included the favorite spat of all the apostles that were there. Which one of us was the greatest? Which is the greatest? Jesus is preparing himself to wash feet and humble himself before his apostles. And they are arguing about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest of them all? When Jesus got to Simon Peter, Simon Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet? I don't think so." He said, "I'm not going to let you touch my feet. You're the Messiah. You're the Master. I can't let you do it." And Jesus says to him, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear in a little while to you." But Peter, he persisted. He said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. Not now and not ever." Jesus said, if you don't let me wash you, you can't be a part of what I'm doing. And he is trying to make a statement to the other disciples and to Peter. You can't be a part of what I'm doing if you don't let me wash your feet. And Peter went on to say, not only my feet is dirty then. He said, my hands is dirty and I need my face washed. I need everything washed now. He was going to take advantage of this. I mean, if he was going to get washed, he might as well wash everything. And Jesus starts to tell him, and here where the moment of learning starts to come in. Jesus says that my concern, you understand, is in holiness, not in hygiene. See, so when he says this, it starts to sink in a little bit. I'm concerned about your holiness and not your hygiene. I'm concerned about when I leave here that you guys that are arguing are going to get too beside yourselves and really want to rule, but you have to be a servant before you can become a leader. I'm not going to be here with you too much longer. I don't have long to be here. So now you're clean. But not everyone in the room was clean, Jesus said. He said, not all the foot washing that I'm going to do in here, somebody is not clean. Somebody is not holy. Because Jesus knew. And then he said, do you understand what I have done for you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I am the master, the teacher, wash your feet, and you must now wash each other's feet. Oh, Lord, that's why we are here today. We are here remembering what went on in that upper room. We are here to humble ourselves before God's people. We have traveled through Holy Week. And we are midway through. Could you imagine? 13 men having dinner to celebrate a shared ministry, a shared history. And one of them washes the other's feet. It allows to me to reflect. Sometimes I go into the Ponderosa or into one of the restaurants here, and I can see a table full of the men's ministry from different churches. And they're having breakfast. They are breaking bread. They are having a good time. And they are sharing their moments in ministry. They are sharing their moments in life and family. And I could just imagine sometimes that, wow, that's how it must have been with the disciples, with those apostles that are following him. Oh, it had to be wondrous to be in the presence of the Lord. A Maundy Thursday, the church remembers the upper room, the last meal the disciples shared with a pre-resurrected Christ, the last meal. And we focus on three major movements or movements of that evening that shaped the services of our Lenten celebration. The washing of the disciples' feet, the institution of the Eucharist or the Lord's table, and the incarnation commissioning, you also should love one another. All of that came out of that room that night. We should all love one another. You will know that we are Christians by the way we treat each other. You will know that we are Christians by the way we talk to each other. You will know that we are Christians by the way we love one another. As we start to walk and talk and be a part of this celebration of the Lenten season, our eyes are focused on Calvary. We know that we have to go through the pain of Good Friday. But we know on Easter morning that we are going to rise with the sun, just like the Son of God rose that Sunday on that third day. We look towards Calvary. We look towards Jesus. Calvary.
Of Jesus.
of Jesus, surely he died on Calvary. Can't you hear the hammer ringing? Can't you hear the hammer ringing? Can't you hear the, can't you hear the hammer ringing? Surely he died on Calvary. 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 Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Surely he died on